You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. Let's do this thing as we get you ready for an extremely busy weekend. If you're a fight fan, there's a ton of fights going on this weekend, man. We've got Bellator and we've got UFC. The Bellator has been billed as one of the freak show circus legend cards, but it's actually a kick-ass card. We'll have some picks for that for you a little bit later on tonight on Morenci Unfiltered. On today's program, we're going to focus in on some fantasy baseball, some hot roster DFS with the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. He'll join me in studio. Steve Merrill will join us. We'll talk some baseball from a betting perspective. Man, the Dodgers are smoking hot right now. Dodgers 13-1 in their last 14 baseball games. Finally overtaken Arizona and Colorado, as we told you they would. And I believe the Dodgers are going to be winning the World Series. We have a big, big weekend series this weekend in Los Angeles. Colorado Rockies and the Los Angeles Dodgers. I'm surprised about the numbers. We'll break it down with Steve Merrill. We'll talk NASCAR with Steve Merrill. Speaking of California, NASCAR is in California and wine country, Sonoma. Maybe my favorite race, actually. As crazy as that sounds, I'm a fan of the Daytona 500, but I'm a big road course guy, and I prefer Sonoma than I do to Watkins Glen or Montreal, even for that matter. So we'll talk some NASCAR Sonoma. We're going to run the gauntlet. We've got some time with Merrill to break it down. We're continuing our NFL team-by-team previews and season win total predictions, or, you know, whatever I think the best bet is right now on the NFL teams. We'll revisit this stuff as the NFL season approaches. Now, listen. It's hard to lock bets in before a training camp and the preseason has begun, but training camp and the preseason isn't all that far off. So we break down the Baltimore Ravens on today's program, which means, unfortunately, we won't have a choice. On Monday, it's the Cleveland Browns. We're going in predictive order here. And I don't know. You know, Baltimore actually might not be as bad as I originally thought they were, or are they average? Are they better than average? We'll break it down a little bit later on in the program. Ton of stuff to talk about. We got a ton of picks. Last night, the Canadian Football League regular season kicked off, and we'll track our football record, our CFL record, 2-0. We gave you the Riders plus 7, and I gave you the Riders tease to the under. Should have just bet the game to the under. I knew it was going to be an ugly, low-scoring game. CFL always starts slow out of the gate, actually, but I would expect tonight to be a much higher scoring game than we saw last night with Calgary and Ottawa. We broke that down with Babano yesterday, Ian Cameron from sportsmemo.com. Yeah, we'll talk a little CFL football. We'll just see what Cam's betting on tonight, and we'll see what Cam likes. Major League Baseball hot roster. Cam's been hanging around Gary and Thorne every day for the last year, so Cam's a smart DFS guy now, man. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, will join us. So the National Basketball Association draft is done, but it's far from over. As I know, every website that you log on to, you're going to see winners and losers as far as the NBA draft is concerned. But drafts are the same as trades. You don't know who won a trade until down the road. It takes a couple of years. You know, it's like when they asked Mao about the Chinese Revolution. It was only a couple of thousand years old. They asked him, how's it going? He goes, I don't know, it's too soon to tell. Get back to me in another 1,000 years, and we'll tell you how it went. We live in a microwave instant society in which we immediately brown people winners and losers. So let's start off and take a look at what went down. And, man, that was some crazy-ass stuff, wasn't it, across the board in the NBA. Unlike the NHL, that hypes everything up. NHL trade deadline. Ooh, 14 hours of coverage about some fourth line stiff from the AHL that got traded. Tell us about the ramifications, Bob. The ramifications? Who cares? That's the ramifications. You know, I guess it's the NHL draft. A lot of hype about that. All right, so NBA draft. Fultz goes first overall. I can't rip on the Philadelphia 76ers for this. You know, I said they might have forced the process a little bit, but hey, they got the guy that they wanted. I don't really trust Colangelo to get the guy that he wants, to be honest with you, because he also wanted Bargnani, but that's another story, right? Markelle Fultz isn't Andrea Bargnani. So Markelle Fultz to Philadelphia, but let me tell you something, Philadelphia 76er fans, all 76 of you, Before you get too excited about who we're going to win and all this, very interesting. It's a lot like the NFL. Number one picks never win. There's something weird about this, right? Number one picks never win. You know, since 1985 in the National Basketball Association, only four guys that have been drafted first overall have won championships with the team that drafted them. There's been a couple of dudes that have won later on down the road with other teams and stuff. But with the actual teams that drafted them, only four guys, man, since 1985 have gone on to win a championship with the team that drafted them. And it's the thing about the NBA. It's like the Knicks pick. 18-year-old kid, yeah, he's good. And by the time he's really good, when he's 22, he's going to realize the Knicks suck and he's going to be somewhere else. But that's besides the point. So Markelle Fultz, Philadelphia, we all knew that was coming. We also all kind of knew that Lonzo Ball was going to go to the LA Lakers. It's done, and I'm done. All right? First off, I stand by this. Forget about waiting for the future. I'm telling you right now, De'Aaron Fox is going to be a better NBA player than Lonzo Ball will be. And so the Lakers fell for the hype. And there's LeVar Ball ruining his son's moment. Hey, LeVar, you suck, all right? You sucked in college. You averaged 2 points a game. And the only way you were ever going to get into the building for an NBA draft is if you got a freaking ticket. Or you waited in line because it's free, all right? And there you are. And there's ESPN. Well, I guess ESPN and LeVar Ball are like tailor-made. Yeah, let's go. Let's check in with LeVar Ball. Forget about Lonzo. Let's see what the father. We're going to make the playoffs. We ain't doing jack because you ain't nothing. You ain't on the Lakers. And one thing, you're only going to motivate everybody else to, you know, just pick on your kid. Lonzo Ball is going to be in a lot of trouble in the NBA, man. Yeah, he's flashy and stuff. Ooh, he's the next Jason Kidd. Settle down, next Jason Kidd. Come on, man. We'll see how this plays. I didn't like the move. I don't like the move. I stand by the fact that I don't like the move. And hey, Lonzo, you're no longer a 14-year-old kid. Why don't you tell your father to shut the hell up, all right? Tell him to go to the bar, have a drink, watch a draft on TV, and shut the hell up. Because it's already freaking annoying as hell, man. And I'm never talking about LeVar ever again, besides to say that I would never spend a dime, 5 cents, on your piece of crap, ugly-ass, overpriced shoes for your overhyped son. All right, am I clear enough? Boston Celtics, how about this? You know what, how about this? I was freaking convinced that Josh Jackson is the best player on the board. And I was wondering, how come, what's going on here? You know, like, how come even the prop is 3.5, and God, I wish it was 4.5? My NBA prop bets were horrible last night. I missed by like one pick all the way through. But Josh Jackson, yeah, he was a slam dunk to go to Boston. And he would have been drafted by the Boston Celtics. And I would have won my significant drop prop bet last night on Josh Jackson. But what I did not know, because the jackals in the media tell us a bunch of crap that never happens, but never tell us anything that actually did happen. Thanks for telling me now that Josh Jackson stiffed Danny Ainge. Did you know that Danny Ainge, Danny Ainge is a hard ass, right? Some would say, what's the word I'm looking for here? I don't know, a prick, a jerk. you know what I'm saying? An a-hole. Danny Ainge isn't the friendliest guy. Genius, great athlete, hell of a career, Mormon. he's a great guy, a great athlete and stuff, great general manager. But you don't want to piss this guy off. Like, he's got a short temper, Danny Ainge. So Josh Jackson and Brad Stevens get on a plane to fly to Sacramento to meet with Josh Jackson. Josh Jackson's in Sacramento. He's working out and stuff. So the Celtics go to meet Josh Jackson. Josh Jackson stiffed them. He stiffed them. He canceled the meeting. Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge flew to Sacramento for nothing. They said, so did it change your mind? He's like, well, he goes, I wasn't happy, coming back home, flying there for nothing at 4 a.m. He goes, no, I wasn't very happy. And we took Jason Tatum. Character guy. Good job. And we see you saw Jackson was all rattled away. He was like, yeah, going to Phoenix. And you could tell he was rattled. Well, hey, kid, maybe if you freaking showed up to the job interview, you would have gotten the damn job. Unbelievable. And I pimped Josh Jackson hard, and I'm ashamed of myself. Because I sort of swept under the carpet the fact that he smashed up his ex-girlfriend's car at Kansas. I knew about it, but I didn't really push it. I was like, yeah, kids are kids. You know, he vandalized the car. Now I find out he actually threatened her too after the fact. Now I know why. Now I know, and I'm seeing all these GMs, they're saying, yeah, you know, he's a great player, but I don't know, we wonder about him. There's something, there might be something missing there. And hey, so we'll see what happens. Maybe he lights it up in Phoenix and the Phoenix Suns win a championship, or maybe you regret it for the next couple of years and you're not on the Boston Celtics. Time will tell. All right, we could go on as far as winners and losers. A lot of people think the losers, Chicago Bulls, did they get enough for Jimmy Butler? Probably not. You're always going to get stiffed when you trade a star. But with that being stated, I didn't like what the Bulls did after the fact, and they didn't really parlay this and twist things and regroup enough. And, you know, I don't understand what you did. You took Jordan Bell out of Oregon, the Ducks. Hell of a basketball player. Great pick with the 38th pick. Here's a novel concept. How about not selling him to the Warriors? Warriors have no money. They need help. They need a kid that can play for next to nothing. So, yeah, let's just help the Warriors out while we suck. Very freaking baffling. I'll tell you what, though, man, and you know what else is really baffling to me? The fact that Vlade Divac did a hell of a job last night, man. De'Aaron Fox, winner. Jackson, North Carolina, winner. Childs from Duke, winner. What the hell's going on here, man? The Sacramento Kings aren't screwing things up. Who do you think won and lost the draft? Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live. I am Gabriel Morenci. The show replays at 5:30 and simulcast on the radio, I believe, at 5 o'clock. Red Heat and Rage Radio at 10 o'clock. Normally, me and Cam are always live. We've never taped one of these radio shows yet. I think we've been doing it for about 2 months now or so. We haven't taped a radio show yet. Yet today's the first day we have to tape a radio show because our boy Cameron 2, Drew's funeral. Oh, no, I mean, it's his wedding coming up. Am I getting invited to the wedding, too, or just the bachelor party? And just for the record, Camera 2, Drew, if you're watching at home right now, for the record, I will not be offended if I don't get invited to the wedding, all right? Weddings suck. I prefer just getting invited to the bachelor party, in fact. So, yeah, it's the big stag tonight, and, you know, I don't know. I'm already, like, worried about the alcohol consumption that's going to go on. But nevertheless, we'll take one for the team. Cam Stewart's going to be there, and he's going to be here in a couple of minutes with us. We're going to tape the radio show after, and then we're going to go to a bachelor party this evening. Steve Merrill is going to step up and in with us. He's not coming to the bachelor party tonight. What's up, Steve?
I will not be there.
I'm not a big fan of bachelor parties. There's always a higher ratio of dudes than there is strippers.
You know, yeah, no, like, I'd prefer to go to the bachelorette party, to be honest with you.
Yeah, bachelorette, that makes more sense. Yeah, bachelorette party, exactly. Yeah. Bachelor party, it's like, you know, it's like someone telling you they got figure skating tickets, and it's like men's figure skating. You know, like, oh, great. Yeah, let's go see Elvis Stoiko. You know, like, at least if it's the chicks, you're like, all right, it's kind of hot. I've always maintained that. Like, male figure skating shouldn't be a thing. I can live with the couples doing it, the mixed. But just the dude, it's like I have the same thoughts with synchronized diving. Nobody wants to see two dudes in Speedos synchronized doing anything.
Yeah, no, what was it? Synchronized swimming's not in the 84 Olympics yet. What was that from? One of the greatest Saturday Night Live skits ever with Harry Shearer, voice of The Simpsons.
That's the best.
And Martin Short, Canadian, Martin Short.
That really is one of the best SNL skits ever.
And I mean, you talk about dating yourselves. That's what, 33 years ago. A lot of our viewers weren't alive when that aired. But I highly recommend you Google. Although SNL doesn't put, you can't find any of the clips on YouTube.
No, SNL's they're the most militaristic about their copyright, Steve, out of anyone in the world.
Because I'll tell you the one. If anyone can find it, email it to one of us. I cannot find the video clip for Quienes Mas Macho, which is like late 70s with Bill Murray. It's a Spanish game show on Saturday Night Live. Quienes Mas Macho is the name of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is one of the greatest skits as well. And I've told people about it, and I can honestly not even find the clip on the internet. I've looked for years. So.
Yeah, Lorne Michaels is very disciplined about that. You
another Canadian.
Too, oh, yeah, another Canadian, exactly. you see on SNL, when you see the clips, a lot of times now, it's people that shoot it on their TV themselves.
Yeah.
You'll never get a clip from SNL just straight boom on YouTube. It'll last 30 seconds, all right? Like, it'll last 6 hours. Like, it'll get up after the show. It's gone by 4 in the morning. Like, they're on it, man. They're on it. but they can't do anything about it if somebody films it on their TV. So that's how you get to see the skits only. And no one could do that in the old days.
Wasn't it Vimeo or one of the other services had like exclusivity, like Hulu or Vimeo? And that was like the only way you could find it, I think. But yeah, YouTube, it is not on. It's an amazing phenomenon, actually. It's like the one thing you cannot find on YouTube is SNL skits.
You know, it's funny, too, because generally people think the show sucks. So it's like, you know, even I thought that for over the years. I'm like, man, your show kind of blows. Your ratings are down. You're in a new age media. You should probably share some clips to get a little hype going.
But, yeah, I agree.
Like Donald Trump is good business for everybody. He's making America great again. Everyone's making money, including like cable news, comedians, and SNL. SNL had their highest ratings like ever this past year with all the Trump bashing.
Oh, and Donald Trump is making that show once again for him. He's literally saving that show. He's saving some of these late night shows. And everyone hates Trump, yet they're all profiting off of him.
I know. It's funny how that works. All right. Oh, it's like me betting on sports. I hate a lot of teams. Doesn't mean I can't profit off of them.
There you go.
All right. So let's jump in. Rockies and Dodgers. Man, are the Dodgers hot, Steve. We always talk about who's hot, who's not. Dodgers hot, hot, hot. 13-1 in the last 14. It was amazing. You know, they were winning every day, basically. And they couldn't gain any ground because the Rockies win all the time and the D-backs win all the time. But it's inevitable. If you go 13-1 in 14 games, you're going to gain ground. And now the Dodgers are finally, I'm not saying they're pulling away, but they've catapulted their way up here, Steve. They're a game and a half up coming into this weekend. Monster series here. This sets the tone for the rest of the year.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about the power rankings each week, and Colorado keeps rising. I had them as high as number two this week. Had the Dodgers, you know, they've been top five for several weeks as well, but we talked about it on Monday. You look at these two teams, and you still feel like the Dodgers, when all is said and done, is going to be ahead of Colorado by the end of the season in that division and the rankings. And I think we're starting to see that now. LA is waking up, and Colorado's still outperforming this year more than probably any team in the league. But I'm not a buyer yet, and I think the Dodgers are showing their supremacy, and this is one of those series. You know, with 162 baseball games, you don't get a lot of focus spots in the regular season this early. But I feel like this is one this week. This is kind of a statement series for the Dodgers so far.
Yeah, you know what? They've already played 9 times this year. The Rockies are 5-4, but 7 of the games were in Denver. The Dodgers can just do no wrong right now. Alex Wood, unbelievable, 7-0 with a 1.90 ERA. Freeland on the bump for the Rockies. They're actually 6-1 in Freeland's last 7 road starts this year. But one thing that surprised me, and I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but I was when I saw it was minus 230. Unbelievably high, Steve.
Yeah, I agree. I like the Dodgers in this spot. I'm not a fan of laying minus 230, obviously. You do get them basically a pick them on the run line. We always mention about LA home games are fairly low scoring because unlike Coors Field, you know, two extremes here, by the way.
But the Dodgers are killing it offensively. Every second at bat's a home run for these guys right now.
And that's a great point, Gabe, because the one thing about laying 1.5 runs, as you know, is you need a little bit more offense to get there. And normally LA home games are pretty low scoring. We see totals around 7 a lot at home, but they're hitting the ball well enough now where I think they can cover that 1.5. I think long term you're better off laying minus 105 on the run line than minus 230 on the money line.
Dodgers are the hottest team in the National League and Major League Baseball, hottest team in the American League right now, the Cleveland Indians. Very similar situation, Steve. Indians and Dodgers are both favored to win their division. Upstart teams, you know, played well further into the year than we would have expected. But right now we're seeing, and it's funny because the Cleveland Indians, me and Malinsky did a baseball future talk about 2 weeks ago. And the Indians were trailing by like 2.5 games, and they were still minus 500. I'm like, man, I guess the book thinks Cleveland's coming on, and Cleveland are coming on. They're 8-1 in their last 9. They just swept the Twins last weekend, so there is a revenge situation here, but I don't want to get in front of the Twins. I can live with the 85 cents. I'm not in love with it, Steve. Maybe we can get a 75-80 by first pitch tonight. But Trevor Bauer's been in a zone, man, and he's actually 3-0 against the Twins this year. Tribe are red hot right now.
Yeah, Cleveland's a good team. I mean, they very well could have won the World Series last year, as we all remember. I think what's a real question is actually, you know, does Chicago continue to struggle? The Cubs, the other World Series participant. The Twins last year were actually second to last or dead last in my power rankings all of last year, basically. So they're another real surprise team, maybe more so than the Rockies. They've cracked my top 10 several weeks this year in my power rankings after being first or second to last all of last year. So they've actually probably been the most improved team, even more so than the Rockies, from last year to this year. And then you look at the Cleveland Indians, who are maybe the first or second best team in baseball last year, best team in the American League. So if you'd looked at this matchup when the season began, I think it would have been a no-brainer to take Cleveland. You know, so now you think about it a little bit, because Cleveland's not played great overall. Minnesota's played better than expected. But as you said, these two teams are heading in opposite directions now. Minnesota's lost four of their last six. Cleveland's playing better. I think this is a good time to ride the Indians and fade the Twins.
All right, final baseball game. I want to get some NASCAR, talk about my favorite track in Sonoma here. Rangers and Yankees. I find this game fascinating because it's Tanaka versus Darvish. And, you know, I'm reading a million game previews and nobody cares. Nobody's bringing it up. I'm like, come on, man. Darvish versus Tanaka here. This is a big deal. There's going to be like 30 million Japanese people watching this game tonight. But it is a big deal. But get this. I dug down deep and I finally started to find some stuff on this. They've never pitched against each other in Major League Baseball, Steve. This is the first time.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. I was going to say, is this a first?
Yeah, this is the first time that Darvish, and they're both just like they're heroes in Japan. They're studs, like they're legends. The last time they faced each other, unbelievable. We have to go back a ways. 2011, Darvish beat Tanaka when he was on the Nippon Ham Fighters, 3-1. They beat the Rakuten Golden Eagles.
Yeah, now the Yankees are a team that have been second or third in my power ranking several times this year, and they are really fading right now. They've lost seven of their last eight. They lost outright last night as a -230 favorite. I actually liked the Yankees last night on the run line. I didn't lay the 230, but I liked them on the run line. Also, a lot of sharp money actually came in on that run line, went from -120 to -140 by game time. So I think now you have to be very cautious. I always mention teams with bad momentum. I backed the Yankees last night despite that, because it was a really solid situation statistically for my numbers, and they still lost 10-5. That's a real red flag for me. I'd be very careful with the Yankees till you see them turn it around on the field.
No, yeah, Tanaka, man, the guy's getting lit up. He's 0-6 with an 8.91 ERA in his last seven starts. Rangers, I know you're not the biggest Ranger fan, but they are winning some baseball games, 9-4 in their last 13. Darvish is much more reliable than Tanaka is right now. I like the Rangers in this spot. All right, NASCAR, we have our first road course of the year, Steve. And I really like this race. And I know to some people it's boring. It's hard to pass. It's the slowest NASCAR race. The average, you know, the average speed of the winner, I think it's been like 95, 90. It's in the mid-90s type of thing. It's not your usual NASCAR race. But I like this one better than the Glen, because I just love watching a NASCAR, Steve, go up and down the rolling hills. You just don't see it. You know, you got these NASCARs, you know, turning both ways. They're going down hills. They're going up hills. It's a real driver's challenge. I love seeing the scenery of the NASCAR cars in wine country, in the mountains. It's just so bizarre. I got to go to this race and get hammered drinking wine. I was reading, too, about how wine's really cheap there. It's like wine and cheese in NASCAR up there in wine country. A 1.99-mile track, 10 turns. Only 110 laps in this race. And one thing, Steve, you and I both know, post position and qualifying is freaking key here. Generally, it doesn't matter all that much. Here it does. It's extremely hard to pass on this track.
Yeah, I was going to say that one thing we always talk about in NASCAR is that qualifying is vastly overrated. But this is one of this and Watkins Glen are the two tracks where that's not the case. However, we've seen some guys in recent years, more so in recent years than I can remember, in years past, more guys that have started outside the top 10 have found ways to win this race. So hasn't mattered quite as much. What I still like to look at are the practice times and the usual suspects, because guys that run well on this course usually keep running well. Guys that struggle continue to struggle, because like you said, it's a very unique track. It's even different than Watkins Glen, the other road course. You see some guys do much better or worse at one than the other. So you really have to look at Sonoma-only numbers. And I'll start right now with a guy that I was surprised was as good as he's been here. If you'd asked me, I wouldn't have thought he'd been this good, is Casey Kane. He's been top nine in his last 4 years here on this track. And I was surprised by that, because I don't think a Casey Kane is a road course guy. Another guy that I kind of knew, but it wouldn't have come to mind right away, is Busch. Not Kyle Busch, but Kurt Busch.
Yeah.
He finished 10th last year, but he'd been better than that. And for the previous five, he'd been like top five, I think. So Kurt Busch and Casey Kane are two guys I was a little surprised when I was looking at the numbers had done as well as they have at Sonoma recently.
You know, off the top of my head, I was thinking, all right, who are the best drivers right now on the circuit? And I even thought, I'm like, you know what, the Bushes, all, you know, these guys are just solid drivers and they've won here before. And for the record, a lot of the a lot of the good road course guys, and remember the old days used to be Ringers and Boris Sad and Ron Fellows, et cetera, and all these guys. I used to have Boris Sad on my show all the time. And he used to come in. A lot of the regular NASCAR guys weren't very good here. But then they sort of got good. Guys like Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, no longer around. Carl Edwards, no longer around. Marcos Ambrose, the guy that we always used to talk about, Steve. Fernando Alonso. All these sort of usual suspects, like you said. Allmendinger is here.
Yep.
I see Allmendinger running well, but he doesn't win. I bet you Allmendinger qualifies well, and then he won't end up winning the race. Jimmy Johnson surprised me, Steve. You know, Californian, great driver. I figured, what about Jimmy's record here? He's only won once in 2010. He's got an average finish at 12th. He was 35th last year, 17th the year before. It's not like he's litting it up here, which leads me into Kyle Busch, plus 500. He's won here before. He's got four road course races wins in his career. It's actually more than any current guy in the field right now. Has led the most laps over the last five races here, 136 laps. Kyle Busch is 5-1. Our boy Truex is in the 5-1 range. I mentioned Allmendinger at plus 650. I'm sure you've got your eye on Clint Bowyer. Seems to be a trendy pick this week. But I'm looking at Logano again. I'm going back with my boy. I've been locked in with Joey for a couple of weeks now. And I'm telling you what, man, he's finished third and fifth the last two times here. He won at the Glen. He's got an average finish of 2.75 in the last four road courses combined. And like you said, the data doesn't match. Sonoma and Watkins Glen are completely different tracks, but he's the one common guy that's good on both the tracks. He's a hell of a driver, and at 12-1, I think he's in the mix.
Yeah, Logano was probably the most dominant driver the first couple months of the season, along with Kyle Larson, obviously, and his teammate Keselowski. I thought Logano and Keselowski are probably as dominant as anybody other than Larson, but he's really been off the last three or four weeks. I think a road course like this is a good time for guys to kind of change momentum because it's a totally different type of race, and he has been very good on both types of road courses. It really is about the good drivers. Kyle Busch, an excellent driver. Logano, an excellent driver. I like Clint Bowyer, though. I did want to mention him because he had a bad finish last year, but he'd been top 10 the 4 years before that, and that was with a much weaker team. He's been running much better overall now with Stuart Haas Racing, and now there's a track where he can legitimately win this week. So I think Bowyer's worth a look. Kevin Harvick, I haven't mentioned him. He's always strong here as well. He's always one of the best drivers everywhere.
All right, we got to get out of here, but I'll roll the dice right now with a long shot at 100-1. Viva Mexico. Daniel Suarez.
Nice.
Yeah. You know what? What I like about the kid grew up racing go-karts, and you know that's a key to these road courses. The Mexican circuit, Steve, it's mostly road courses, actually. So the kid grew up go-karts, road courses. Not a lot of track record here to work with, but I tell you what, two top fives in the Xfinity Racing Series here.
Yeah, well, let's see his practice times. You know, we don't have them yet, but if he qualifies or has practice times in the top 10, I agree with you.
Oh, yeah, and he's riding, of course, in not a bad car that's won a lot of road course races.
He's in the Carl Edwards car, like you said, that used to win here. So, let's see what his practice times. If I can see some top 10s, I'll be very confident in backing him.
All right, Steve, always a pleasure, my man.
Thanks, Gabe.
The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. The kid is hot tonight. Whoa! We'll see what Cam has to say about the Hot Roster MLB board. Coming up next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenzi. Welcome to Ranger Redhead Cam Stewart into the studio. We're going to focus in on some hot rosters. The kid is hot tonight. Whoa! So hot tonight. So tonight we'll be throwing it down with camera to Drew and 250 butchers, Italian butchers. Sounds like a lot of fun.
He didn't even show up for work today. He's like, hey, man, your stag's not till 9. Oh, don't worry about it, guys.
Yeah, I asked him. I said, so what time are you leaving here tomorrow? He's like, oh, I'm not coming.
I'm taking the day off.
Yeah, it's great. You know, you guys are unbelievable. Me and Cam and our boy Roger LaFleur, we've been around a while.
Like, yeah, we're not kids.
I chopped my finger off once. Someone's like, you got to go to the hospital. I said, I'll do it after the show. Not even joking. I sat in the radio booth dripping blood.
I remember.
I sat there dripping blood. And people are looking at me like, what's wrong with you? I'm like, don't worry about it. I'll be fine.
I told you.
I actually never went to the hospital.
No.
After the show, I was like, I taped her up. I taped her up. Now we got, our boy Reed had migraines last week?
Yeah, tough
migraines.
Times. Yeah.
You ever heard of Tylenol?
Yeah, it's called Motrin.
Migraines? Ooh, you Scottie Pippen? Can't play in a championship game, coach. I have migraines. Yeah, I got a migraine because you got a migraine now.
You know, if you were in the hospital, Gabe, to the last show, you know, you're like, you used to be so beat down. You go, bring me the microphone. You'd find a way to get your computer in
there.
Don't worry about the IV drip.
The worst excuse of them all is our boy Pittman. Guy's unbelievable. In the middle of a show, he leaves his post. We got like two operators on a radio show, me and Ken. And then I find out his sorry ass excuse was, oh, his wife's having a baby and he had to go to the doctor. Like, you know,
that's a good one, Moretzi, man.
Like, you know, if you tell me, listen, I got to meet a Russian bookie down by Lakeshore. Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, going to kill me. Yeah, like, Cam couldn't make it because they're going to kill him.
And he's driving a Fiero with a prosthetic leg. You might want to show up for that meeting.
No, we're just kidding. We hope your migraines are better, Reed. We're not kidding about Drew and Pittman. We hope everything went all right at the doctor.
Yeah, Pittman's been beat down. Moretzi, you ready for some hot roster, buddy?
Yeah, and this segment's for you, Pittman, because you better start making money. So pay attention to these picks.
Kids are expensive.
Kids are very expensive. Not that I would know.
No, I don't have any children.
All
life's
I have
expensive.
Is disposable income and a lot of free time on my hands. I don't know.
I got a jar of Canadian Tire money. Jose Abreu.
I don't have any disposable
income. No, you know, right?
Let's jump in here. Hot roster. Jose Abreu versus Logan Morrison.
I'm going to tell you something about this matchup, Gabe. It's going to be one of my favorite matchups, actually. Logan Morrison is an absolute beast. You want to talk 6 home runs and 62 at-bats in June alone. The guy is the stir that stirs the Rays drink right now. And a great matchup, Gabe. I know you're going to love this one. Umbaldo Jimenez. What's that? That's lighter. That's gas. 6-for-9 against this guy. 5.56. It's big, big trouble. Logan Morrison, he owns this guy, and he's also a hot guy. Even though Abreu's hot, I'm going to go with Morrison, and he's a one-point pooch.
Cam's bringing some heat here, bringing some numbers. As he stated, Morrison owns him in as 2 doubles, a home run, 5 RBI, hitting 556. Yet, Abreu.
Uh-oh.
Abreu's been putting the ball over the fence a lot recently.
That's true.
And I'll tell you what, Cotton? Cotton.
Cotton serves
Cotton's
up.
Pretty flammable, too, yeah. Cam.
Cottonelle. Cotton, it burns.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're right.
Guy's giving up 12 home runs in his last 7 starts.
Yeah, good points, Morenzi.
Are you both hot?
Yeah.
I'm going to Abreu.
Okay, nope. It's going to be.
So, you've got a smoking guy in Morrison at home at Tampa, or you've got Abreu at home. Versus a dude that keeps giving up long balls.
Exactly.
And I'm going to play the value to home run on this one, Cam.
Okay.
And I'll take a shot to the Abreu. Remember what was the last time?
Paul Goldschmidt.
I said he will hit a home run tonight. I'm doing it again.
Abreu
hits a home run tonight. All right. They both have good.
These are cake matchups for both
guys.
All
right. This other one is interesting because as much as these both other guys were hot, these next two guys suck.
Mm-hmm.
They're both struggling right now. With Polanco and Thames. What do you think about this one?
See, this one's interesting, Moretzi. When you're breaking it down, everyone's going, oh, yeah, Thames and the power. But no. This guy is ice cold right now. After hitting 11 home runs in April, just 9 in May and June. And the problem with Thames on hot roster, you get negative points for strikeouts. And we're going to break it down. Polanco, only 3 Ks in his last 6 games. And Thames, 10 in those. That's a big, big difference. And also Polanco, multiple hits in 4 of his last games. Morenzi, sometimes on hot roster, don't think about the big sticks. Think about the guys who strike out too much. They'll lose you matchups. Give me Polanco.
And I'll tell you what, as somebody that drafted Adam Wainwright late in my season-long fantasy league, the dude's not as – he's not Adam
He doesn't Wainwright. Have the same stuff.
No.
Exactly.
He's not the same pitcher that he used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like
you
got to
go with Polanco, Gabe. He's a one-point pooch, too. It's a good matchup.
Yeah, you know what? The fact that you brought the fact of the home runs and the negative points that you get
for the strikeouts
is, that's an awesome stat and a great point that you raise. All right, speaking of Loverboy and kids being hot. Ooh, let's go.
Sin Choo Choo is hot tonight.
Oh, he's real hot.
And Mazzara.
Choo Choo Choo.
I Choo Choo Choose you on hot roster. Know what the funny
guy's
thing?
Guy's killing it.
Oh, yeah. Listen to my boy.
Yeah, teammate versus teammate here. And I'll tell you what, you want to speak of getting lit up, man. Tanaka's getting, he's getting tanked.
Ding, 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 ding. My good friend Morenci wearing the Ravens jersey all over it. This is a great situation. 4-for-6 versus Tanaka as well. I'm going to go to the cam and my boy Roger. This guy is hitting 667 against him. And Gabe knows Tanaka can be flammable at times. Shin-Soo Choo, hot hitter too. Hey, I like Mazzara.
He's 0-6 in his last 7 starts with an 8.91 ERA.
Choo, choo, choo. I choose him.
Great call.
Thank you.
Great pun. He's on fire today.
It's been one of those days.
He's on fire today. Like I said, it's all the time hanging around Gary and Thorne. All those numbers are starting to seep in, right?
Yeah, that's the thing. In my brain, it's like a colander, just dripping information. Or it could be my head sweat. What do we got for Alonzo and Morales?
Alonzo and Kendry Morales.
All okay. I got some for you on this one, too. Alonzo, another guy. You know what? He'll go deep, and he'll give you that home run, but this is an interesting matchup. We're getting Morales as a one-point dog, and the thing that I like to look at, he's strung hits together. At least 2 hits in a game, at least not one, at least 2 hits in a game, and 5 straight. Good matchup tonight for the Jays in Kansas City. And Morales is a one-point dog. I lean that way, Gabe, but I'm going to say this is one of the tougher matchups on the card.
You're not a fan of Junis tonight on the hill. I'm actually taking the Royals tonight.
Actually, Alonzo also hitting 143 against bats in the Pelfrey.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Morales is hot right now. Over his last, over his last 30 at-bats, 12 hits, 2 home runs, 5 RBI over the last 7 days. Mm-hmm. I'll ride the hot hand here. And finally, we've got one player prop over-under.
Yep, Benintendi of Boston hitting 272 against right-handed pitching. All of his home runs from that side of the plate as well. 10 dingers, 40 ribbies, and you got to look at that K rate at 14.5%. Hey, he doesn't strike out too much for a guy that's actually doing some damage. Give me over with Benintendi.
I agree. We'll take the over with Benintendi as well. All right, Cam, last night I took the under.
In the football game?
In the CFL game.
Great call. Keep digging.
And I took the Riders plus 7.
Me too.
And I teased it. Teased it to the under, so I didn't take the under. I should have. I teased it to the under. Same thing. We went 2-0, off to a nice start in the CFL.
We are.
We've got a game on the board tonight, Cam, and I got to tell you what, this is like the Grey Cup all over again. Nobody giving any respect at all to the Red Blacks. Point spread was 2.5. It's up to 6 right now. Give me Trevor Harris.
Yes.
And the Ottawa Red Blacks plus 6 tonight. And the over. Tonight will be a higher score.
It's amazing, Gabe. I'm on the over as well. 55. I got it at 55, 55 and a half right now. You could tease it. You could do whatever you want with it. Gabe said it. It's Harris time. It's going to be fantastic. Ottawa, I know they have some changes on the offense, but disrespected. This line has moved 3.5 points. Are you kidding me? Calgary might win this game, but by winning by 6, that's a tall task going into Ottawa and doing that. You know me, Gabe. I'm going to take the pooch in the over as well.
Great stuff. Tune in to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern. It's free online. Me and Cam, Red Heat and Rage are radio. And stay tuned. We'll be right back in a moment or two with our Baltimore Ravens season preview. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, let's do this thing. We've been breaking down each and every National Football League team's win total, Super Bowl odds, conference odds, and everything else in between. We'll revisit. These aren't our final season previews or anything like that, but I think it's time right now to start to be aware of what the numbers are and to get ready and to start to get some bets in, actually. But I will caution. I'm looking at these numbers right now, but we always have to wait for the preseason, man. Injuries do happen. Suspensions happen. And sometimes players hit people over the head with champagne bottles even. Right? Right? A lot of stuff happens. Let's talk about the Baltimore Ravens right now. They were 8-8 last year. They missed the playoffs. And it's actually becoming a pattern right now. They've only been in the playoffs once in the last 4 years. They're 33-1 to win the Super Bowl. They're 16-1 to win the AFC. They're plus 260 to win the AFC North. And although I did the Bengals preview yesterday, penciling in the Bengals into second place, there's not a lot to give between the Ravens and the Bengals, in my opinion. But I do believe that the Cincinnati Bengals are better than the Baltimore Ravens. Sorry, Raven fan. I'm just calling it like I see it. Their regular season win total surprises me, though. Like the odds makers, the odds makers like the Ravens better than the Bengals. The odds makers like the Ravens. They do. I was shocked to see their regular season win total is 9.5. 9.5. They got to win 10 games. Ravens got to win 10 games for you to win this bet. Now, it is plus 130 to the over 9.5. And if you want to go under 9.5, it's minus 160 right now. So let's jump in. Can this football team win 10 games this year? Let's start off with the offense, man. There's a lot of fresh faces. I wouldn't say fresh faces, new faces, because you know, it's not like a ton of young guys. But there's a lot of new weapons for Flacco to work with and new guys. Steve Smith is gone after the last 99 years in the NFL. Kamar Aiken, gone to the Colts. Dennis Pitta, retired, bad hip, gone. So Macklin comes in. He's your new Steve Smith guy. I like Macklin. Don't love Macklin. I like Macklin. You got Mike Wallace, who's kind of eh. You know, Macklin was playing with an injury last year. So I think Flacco and Macklin are going to have a nice rapport. I think actually Macklin's probably going to catch a lot of balls. I'm not going to get suckered in and draft him, but he probably will catch a lot of balls this year. But to me, the big X factor for their offense is Breshad Perriman. You know, they drafted this kid a couple of years ago. He's been injured. Can he produce and become a legitimate number one, legitimate wide receiver in the NFL? Now, they're pimping him up. They're saying that he's having a great camp, that he looks like a legitimate number one type guy. You're going to have to show me. You're going to have to stay on the field. You're going to have to prove it. But the Baltimore Ravens are counting on a big jump of improvement this year for Perriman. The problem with the Baltimore Ravens last year was, and it's kind of an oxymoron here, their wide receivers weren't very good. You had Steve Smith, okay. You had Mike Wallace. Yet Joe Flacco threw the football more times than he ever threw in his entire career. It's amazing. He threw the football a career-high 672 times last year. The Baltimore Ravens ran the football. They had the least rushing attempts than they had in franchise freaking history. That's not Harbaugh football, man. That's not Harbaugh football. Throwing the ball 672 times. You don't run the ball at all. They bring in Danny Woodhead. Danny Woodhead's a good guy to be catching balls out of the backfield, but he's not an every down running back per se. So I wonder about their commitment to the run. I guess they're going to be a pass heavy football team. Now, you know, it can be an effective offense. I do have confidence in Harbaugh to a certain extent, but we'll get to this in a second. Flacco, who's Flacco? You know, People pick on Flacco. Flacco is a serviceable quarterback. Flacco's a good quarterback. If you give Flacco some weapons to work with, you know, Woodhead's going to help him coming out of the backfield. There's going to be a ton of dink and dunks, man. Can't you just picture Flacco? Just his little, ooh, here, there you go, Woodhead. There's going to be a ton of that this year. I think he will have a nice rapport with Macklin. So, you know, their offense can be efficient. Their defense is impressive. The defense is evolving. Yet for all the old guys that are no longer there, from the Ray Lewis's to the Ed Reed's, etc., Terrell Suggs is still the guy. 35 years old, he can still ball right now. Yet they've done a nice job transitioning this defense. Brandon Williams gets a big money deal, so he'll be happy. They signed Brandon Carr away from the Cowboys. They got Jimmy Smith. You know, their secondary's been a little spotty at times over the last couple of years. They draft Marlon Humphrey out of Alabama. Love that draft pick. They went heavy on defense. You know, they're always going to be defense-first franchise, and they didn't change that. We haven't talked a lot about kickers in our previews, but to me, Tucker's the best kicker in the NFL. Tucker's a stud, and he can win you fantasy league, guys. I'm telling you right now. You want to win fantasy football, don't think, oh, it doesn't matter about the kicker. And I draft kickers. Don't just, you know, stream your kickers. Draft Bailey or Tucker. They're worth a hell of a lot of points. They don't miss 50-yard-plus kicks. Harbaugh, hell of a coach. And, you know, I'm a Michigan guy. I'm a Harbaugh guy. So I love both the Harbaugh brothers. I think they're both excellent football coaches. But Jeff Fisher was an excellent football coach once, too. And I wonder, what you know, this is sort of a crossroads year here for Harbaugh in Baltimore. You know, Harbaugh's got to get this thing done. They can't live off the Super Bowl win against San Francisco and his brother forever. You know, it's time to get some production here. Baltimore, not used to missing the playoffs all the time. You know, let's look at their schedule. And one thing that jumps out to me as far as the Ravens are concerned is the fact that they're 3-14 in their last 17 road games, guys. They don't win on the road, all right? So they're a good home team. They don't win on the road. They open up at Cincinnati. Then they get Cleveland. Then they're at Jacksonville. Then they host Pittsburgh. Then they're at Oakland. Then they host Chicago. Then they're at Minnesota. Then they host Miami. than are at Tennessee. What do you think, like, when you see that? I think 500. You look at their schedule, it's like, yeah, win a game, lose a game. Yeah, they'll win there, they'll lose there. Weeks 4 and 5, they get the Steelers. They host the Steelers, and they're at the Raiders. And then we see here week 11 and 12, they're at the Packers, and they host the Titans. The Texans. That's pretty much that's the bump right there. That four, the Packers, the Texans, the Lions, and the Steelers. And look, they wrap up the season with 2 home games. I just don't see where 10 wins are coming from. I think this is an 8-8 football team again. I think they're an 8-8 football team again. I think maybe they're 9-7, but like I said, I'm surprised that the win total is 9.5. So as it is right now, I don't see the Baltimore Ravens winning 10 games. I think they could be battling for a playoff spot. I think Harbaugh, I think they have a solid roster. I just think 9.5 is too high. I'm going to go under 9.5 wins, Baltimore Ravens, -150. Like it or not, the Cleveland Brown preview will be coming up next. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, it's time for our plays of the day. The CFL season kicked off last night, and we kicked it off in impressive fashion. And that was the game that I liked the least out of the 4 games this week. So we're going to find out. And I often tell people say, hey, how do you win money betting on sports? I always tell them the one smart thing to do, and I'm not saying I'm smart and I don't always do it, always bet the same amount on every game. Don't think that one bet is better than the other. They're all the same, all right? They're all the same. So, hey, we're 2-0 to start the season. Tonight, you know what? We're going to take the underdog again. I was on the Ottawa Redblacks in the Grey Cup. We were getting like 9.5 points. I even took them on the money line. Once again, everybody thinks, ooh, Calgary's going to get revenge. Ooh, Calgary's a big game for Calgary. Something to remember, guys, they play next week in Calgary. All right, so they're going to get another opportunity for revenge as well. I think Calgary probably win a close football game tonight. Wouldn't shock me if Ottawa won outright, and I'm tempted to sprinkle on the money line a little bit, but let's not get crazy. Let's take the Ottawa Redblacks plus the 6 points. Last night was an ugly game, low scoring. I think there'll be points put up on the board. Keep your eye on the weather. It could get ugly tonight, but I still like the over. Anyways, Baltimore Orioles, you guys keep screwing me as dogs, but plus 185, I can't turn it down. I'm going to take plus 185, and I'm going to lay minus 185. Trevor Bauer's been on fire. The Indians are they're red hot. They've won 8 of the last 9 baseball games. Nelson on the hill tonight for the Brew Crew, minus 110. I'll take my shot there. We got the Blue Jays and the Royals. Give me the Royals. May the winners be yours.